Now let me remind all my listeners today that when Thanksgiving Day comes round in this country, it is a holiday of national observance. Of all the days of the year, this day is welcomed with a large degree of participation. So when Thanksgiving Day arrives, families perhaps will gather together for the family reunion. Some churches will be opened, and they will hold their Thanksgiving Day services. It seems that the nation stops its busy life. May I ask what for? Isn't it to remember, to give thanks? You see, there are so many things for which we ought to give thanks. Harvest time, and the autumn is an occasion, an opportunity to reflect upon our blessings and the benefits so freely given to us by God. It's an occasion of opportunity, isn't it? I've often tried to picture what the blessings and benefits would be in this land if on Thanksgiving Day, whether in the morning or around the lunch table or the evening meal, when the family has gathered for the reunion, if the head of the house would take his place and open out the word of Holy Scripture, the Bible, and before they partake of the good things that are spread on the table, if the head of the house could take time to read to all the members of the family, perhaps his children and his grandchildren, just to read to them some nice portion from the Scriptures, something that would center their minds and their hearts on the goodness of God. And after reading from the Word of God, if they would just bow their heads for a moment or two of silence, when each one silently would give thanks to God for his goodness. And then, if the head of the house, in a brief prayer with well-chosen words, could offer unto God the thanksgiving on behalf of the household, that would be a return, you know, to what used to be. I'm rather afraid that we're living in days when men and women have got away from God. And I want to remind you that there is a very, very solemn portion in the Scriptures. It's found in the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. And there, in that very dark, dark passage of Scripture, when all the wrongs of men are brought before us very vividly, and when men are brought under, as it were, the searching eye of an Almighty God, one of the things brought against heathen men, one of the things brought against men who have turned away from God is this: because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and listen to this, neither were thankful. That is, they did not give thanks. And when they refused to give thanks, when they failed to give thanks, they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I, for one, my friend, am very thankful for this, that in this large nation there is still a day that's set apart for thanksgiving. You know, it's a strange thing, this Thanksgiving Day. It's not a day when you come together to remember some great battle. It's not a day when you remember somebody's birthday. It's not a day when the name of some great statesman is honored. And it certainly is not a heathen religious day. Of course not. You know, when the Pilgrim Fathers landed on the shores of this country way back in 1620, they knew that they had been providentially brought across the ocean by God's guiding hand. They decided to set apart some time for recollection and thanksgiving. Although no annual day was fixed at the beginning, certainly they must have been the forerunners of our annual day, in that they publicly acknowledged the providence of God toward them. This day has no other holiday comparable to it. I have indicated it doesn't celebrate any battle, doesn't celebrate anyone's birthday, it doesn't celebrate any political revolution, it's no pagan holiday. Rather, it consecrates the common things of life to God. It's a family day, with home and children. When the family get together, they can reminisce, talk of things that used to be. I have indicated to you already, I thought, within my own heart, what a wonderful thing if the head of the house, sitting at the table, could direct the thoughts of his family to the mighty God. Suppose he was to ask question at the Thanksgiving Day dinner. Suppose he was to say to the whole family, "What is the chief end of man?" And if all the family could answer like a united voice, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever." Oh, my friend, listen. Whether it be in the unit of the family, or in the community, or in the country, if those who take leadership, that is, the head of the house takes leadership in the house, perhaps the mayor of the city, or the governor of the state, or the president of the land, would have the courage to speak out to all who were willing to hear and ask that question, "What is man's chief end?" And if every member of this nation could get a grasp of the answer, that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You see, Thanksgiving Day ought to be a time not only for reflection, but a time for the recognition of God. You see, we've just come past the harvest time. Harvest time in the fall of the year is an occasion and opportunity to reflect upon the goodness of God and all the blessings and benefits He has bestowed upon us. For our blessings in this land are numberless. But it's also a time for the recognition of God. You see, it was God who promised to give us seed time and harvest. It was God who promised to give us summer and winter. And so the seasons come and the seasons go, each one coming in its right and proper place. And God has so ordered the seasons. And God has given us our seed time and our harvest. The sun rises in the morning, travels its course, and the earth revolves around its own axis, never goes out of its circuit or out of its orbit. Oh, my friend, see how good God is to us. And so therefore there ought to be the recognition of God. And we should face up to this. What is our responsibility? What is our chief end? Isn't it to recognize God? There should be the time then for the rendering of thanks. The great Apostle Paul, in writing his letter to the Christians at Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, he says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Now, the occasion for this outburst of thanksgiving is very interesting. If you were to read chapters 8 and 9, you would discover this, that in a certain part of the world there were Christians who were in need. They were passing through difficult times, and their need had been made known to many other Christians who had never seen them, Christians who were scattered away in other countries. And when they knew of the need of the poor, desperate Christians down in Judea, they decided to give of their abundance. That is, they were going to share what they had with others. Now I am reminded that Thanksgiving time can be a time of sharing. And people share what they've got. They invite others to come to the table, and they share the food. And there are some who provide Thanksgiving Day dinners for others who are not able to provide it for themselves. Oh, what a wonderful joy it brings into one's heart when they're able to share something good with others. And if you were to read chapters 8 and 9, you'd discover that is the background to their giving. And in the midst of these chapters, while Paul is relating these things, he reminds us of what the Lord did, and how the Lord came from heaven's glory down to this earth. He gave himself. He who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might be enriched. You see, our God is a giving God. There's a beautiful text in the Bible. It says this: he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You see, my friend, not only is our God a giving God, he's a living God. We don't bow down to stocks and stones. We don't bow down to little idols that have eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear. Our God is a living God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. You know, I sometimes feel very sorry for people who have tried to convince themselves that they are atheists. If a person is an atheist and says there's no God, I wonder, to whom does he give thanks? He can't give thanks for the harvest if he doesn't know God, for it's God that gives us the harvest. And if a man doesn't know God, how can he give thanks, and to whom does he give thanks? See, you must believe that God is the living God, and not only the living God, he is the giving God. And the whole of these two chapters set this thing before us, that our God is a giving God. And God gave unto us the greatest of all gifts. Thanks be unto God, says the apostle, for his unspeakable gift. So the occasion for this outburst of thanksgiving was the fact that the people were giving, and they were giving, some of them out of their abundance and some of them out of their poverty. But it was being accumulated and was being sent to those who were less fortunate, and it would bring joy to them to think that they were being thought about and some provision was being made for them. However, surely we can join in with the apostle and say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We can thank God for his bounty towards us. Now, if it's right and honorable to give thanks to people when they give, surely it's right that we should give thanks to God for what he has given. And if God has given to us this unspeakable gift, something that's far away and beyond any words that men could ever think of. We don't have words in our language to describe God's great gift. And surely God's gift was his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there is no language on earth that could fully describe the virtues of God's Son. And so in the midst of these chapters where he's thinking of giving and thanksgiving, he concludes by saying, but let us give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. So we can thank God for his bounty towards us. We can thoughtfully bless those who are in need, and we in turn can do something for them. After all, if God has done so much for us, Surely we can do something to bring some joy into the life of others. The least we can do is try to tell them of God's gift and God's beloved Son. Not only so, you see, if we do something like this for others, they in turn will thank God for our kindness to them. Put yourself in the position of these people in Paul's day who were passing through troublous times, difficult times down in Judea. Then one day a group of men arrived, having gone to the churches over in Asia, Asia Minor, and some of them in Europe. And here they arrived back in Jerusalem, and they brought with them what he calls the bounty. They brought these things, these gifts, and they brought them down to help the poor needy saints down in Judea. Think of what their reaction would be. May I suggest they immediately would call for a prayer meeting. And at their prayer meeting there would be the giving of thanks. They would be thanking God for his kindness to them. Not only so, they'd be thanking God for the glorious gospel that had reached those heathen people in Europe and in Asia Minor. The gospel which first was preached in Jerusalem and Judea had gone out into other countries. These people had heard the gospel. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. And so these people down in Judea would be thanking God for the glorious gospel that had reached those people and then prompted them to act with this good deed of sending help to them in Judea. And you know, we can all join in this giving of thanks. We can all join in thanking God for his unspeakable gift. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Many a time you sang that little verse, didn't you? Yet here on Thanksgiving time, as the day is approaching, people will be busy rushing to and fro to the stores to buy in an abundance for Thanksgiving. But of course there will be some who will not be able to do this. Perhaps there will be those who will help them. Or it may be there's some poor widows who can't afford to spread the table with luxuries. But it could be a friend will invite them to share the Thanksgiving dinner. It may be there's some poor ones who will be helped. And don't you see, the very fact that something is done for those in need draws thanksgivings from their hearts. And here's a time when we've got something with which we can all agree, and that is there ought to be a thanksgiving. May God have mercy on those who don't find time to give thanks.